Just a small way to show you that the small can become ridiculous and turn into something that it shouldn't be turning into, right? That is a couple that's actually part of our church family, and they have a great marriage, by the way. They have a great, great marriage. So welcome. I want to say hello to Springboro and Northmont and Classics and all you that are in the room. We are one church if you're a guest, and we are in three different locations, and it's awesome to be able to study some things together in a variety of different places in town and then go into our communities and live out these things that we're learning together. So I want to welcome you to first week of Prescription for Lasting Relationships, a five-week series. And I hope that you will mark your calendars, and for the next 5 weeks that you'll just participate. And if you can't be here for some odd reason, then maybe you'll tune in and follow along on either our app or our website, because we're going to be learning some really important principles. Now, some of you might be thinking this is only for married couples. It is not. It is for singles. It's for teenagers. It's for middle school. In fact, teenagers, if you get this right now, you're probably going to save yourself a lot of pain and hurt that many of us adults have experienced. And so we're going to learn some things together here that will really help us to understand. In fact, as we start this series, I want to just start with this, that God has created us to be in relationship. The reality is there's a reason why being alone, or feeling alone rather, is such a hard thing for people, because we're not wired and designed to be alone. God has created us to be in relationship. The very first day you took breath, God hardwired inside of you to have relationships, and for those relationships to be meaningful and have significance in your life, and if you're married, for them to last. And so God wants us to be connected. In fact, He wants us to be connected spiritually. We'll talk about that today and more next week, that's the starting place. If you're a Christ follower, then the relationship in terms of marriage ought to be starting there at the spiritual side. And then you move into the emotional side, where you emotionally get attached to each other. And then there's a physical connection that happens, a consummation, sex, if you will. And we'll be talking about that during this series as well. We'll talk about the importance of that. And so God has created us to be in relationship with the opposite sex, and for those relationships to last. It's no wonder that in John chapter 17, as Jesus was praying, and you don't need to turn there in your Bibles, but in John chapter 17, Jesus prayed this prayer. I'm paraphrasing it because you probably have heard this before. He says this: be in the world, but not of the world, right? Let's say this aloud so that we can get this, because we talked about this in relationship to money a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to talk about this in relationship to our relationships as well. So let's say this aloud in all of our campuses. Springboro, help me out here. Northmont, Classics, all of you right here. Let's read it aloud. Here we go. Be what? Be in the world, but not of the world. In other words, there should be something different about our relationships. Though we live in the world, though we live in communities, and though we live in neighborhoods and work and live there, our relationships should be different. There should be something different about our relationship. And so we're going to be looking at the prescription from God's perspective of what those relationships look like and how they can last. Before we jump in, though, take your Bibles and your devices, if you have them, and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, and bookmark your Bibles right there, or your devices, because we're going to come back to Ephesians 5 5 weeks in a row. And so stay there, and then we'll jump around to a couple of other places. But Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to get some really, really important clues and principles as to how we can have lasting relationships. Before we dive in, let me just go back 2 weeks and say we did this series called Master Your Money, and I just want to celebrate with you for just a little bit. I don't know who you are. In other words, I don't know your names, but I've been told that there are 72 brand new givers at Fairhaven Church in all of our campuses. And I just want you to help me. Would you just help me thank those 72 individuals who are putting God first in their life? That's really awesome. That means that you're sensing that God, you know, that all you have belongs to God. And then here's something else we saw. 35 people, and again, I don't know who you are, but 35 people took the 90-day tithe challenge. For 90 days, they're going to test God, and we talked about this, and that's just really amazing, the 35 people that we know of. There are probably more than that, but 35 people that let us know, and that's pretty, pretty incredible. And then I just want to remind you that we are doing budgeting classes and estate planning classes and planning for retirement and dealing with debt. We have some amazing people that will be teaching these classes. far smarter than I am when it comes to money, and we just thought we should have some handles. So if you need help in budgeting or estate planning or any of these, just go to fairhavenchurch.org, and it's right on the front page of the website, and join up with the classes. We have many already signed up, but I just wanted to make sure that one more time I told you, because the classes are starting really, really soon. So go online and sign up for those classes. All right, so week one in this series, we're saying this, that the prescription that God has is for people who really want to identify love. To really identify what love is. What does the Bible say love is, and is it different than what the world says? And we'll be looking at that. And so we want to talk to people who really want to identify what love is and not to be distracted or consumed by sex. And I think you'd agree with me, and I'll show you in just a few minutes as I've done some research, that we live in a sex-craved world. And so we're bombarded with this all the time. In fact, let me lay out for you the next 5 weeks. Here's what we're going to be talking about in the next 5 weeks. Hopefully this will maybe whet your appetite a little bit so that you come back and mark your calendars. Today, we're going to be talking about the prescription for lasting relationships. How do you design your life around lasting relationship? What is God's prescription for lasting relationships in our life? That's this week. Next week, we're going to talk about how to know if you're in love. So teenagers, pay close attention. Middle school, if you want to find out how to find the love of your life, how you do that, we're going to talk about that next week. If you're single and you're on the verge of maybe engaging into a relationship, you might want to be here for that. And so parents, I'm sure you're going to want to pay close attention to this as well. And the reality is, if you're married, you want to know how you can stay in love. Am I right? And so this applies to everyone. And then the third week, we're going to talk about the difference between love and sex. And we're going to look at the biblical stand on what those two things are and how they interact and what it means and so forth. And then week four, we're going to look at sexual purity in a sex-craved world. And on week four, some of you ladies are thinking, I don't need to come. It's just for the guys. And ladies, I got bad news for you. Actually, the statistics are telling us that there's a rise in ladies, in women who are being caught up in this sex-craved world. So this is for all of us. How do we be different than the world around us? And how do we navigate all that we see and hear and watch? And so we're going to be addressing that. And then the last week, week five, we're going to be talking about the fact that there is a better way. There's a better way. God has a better way for us when it comes to lasting relationships. And so that's what we're going to tackle over these next 5 weeks. And I hope that you really mark your calendars and make it a point to come as we're going to be diving in. So let's take a look here. There are two different perspectives. There's the world's perspective, or the world's prescription that you see all around you. All you have to do is watch a movie, pick up a magazine, read a romance novel, or look and see what the advertisements are saying, and we have a prescription of what the world has to say. What we're going to do today in Ephesians chapter 5, in just a few verses, we're going to figure out God's prescription of lasting relationships. And what you'll notice, watch this, you'll notice that they're very similar but very different. Four steps that I'm going to give you in each one, all right? So let's start with the world, because I'm going to start with the negative. I'm going to start with what we see every single day. And if you could take every Hollywood movie over the last 40 years, and if you could take every advertisement that you've seen over the last 40 years, and if you could take every romance novel and put it together and put it into a formula, what would that formula look like? I'm going to try to give you that formula today, and then give you what we find in God's Word from Ephesians chapter 5. So let's start with the world's prescription for lasting relationship. The first thing you need to do, according to the world, number one, is you need to find the right person. You've got to go on a hunt to find the right person. You've got to make sure that they're the person that completes you. I mean, if I've heard that once, I've heard that a million times, people saying to me, you know what, they just complete me, and I'm like, well, were you not complete before you had them? You know, I mean, there's fulfillment in relationships, obviously, and there's great things, but, you know, we hear this in the world around us. You got to find the right person. So I did some very unscientific research, and I want to pull you into that research with me, if you don't mind, for just a few minutes, because I want to show you what we're bombarded with on a day-by-day basis. I decided to go to the store, and I walked into the store, and I went up to the magazine rack, and I bought like 5 or 8, 10 magazines just right off the rack. And I'm going to show you these magazines. I'm going to show you the covers and then read a couple of things that are on the front of each one of these magazines. And I got to be honest with you, it was a little awkward standing there, especially when I held one magazine and somebody walked by and says, "Hi, Pastor Dave, how you doing?" I don't know if you've read these things or not, but man, just the covers alone, I mean, like, oh boy, I mean, you know, I'm hoping nobody sees me. I wish my wife was with me, you know, and I just want to do some kind of really unscientific research, and here it is, all right? So let me give it to you, you know, one magazine at a time here. The first magazine is Red Book, and we have Red Book here. I don't know if you've read this magazine or not, and it's pretty interesting. There's a lady in front, and it says, "Look good at any age. The experts will tell you how to trick your skin, trick your body, and trick your brain." There you go, ladies. If you want to look young at any age, you just need to figure out how to trick your skin and trick your brain, and that's what it says right here. It's pretty amazing. There's all kinds of things. 20 best snacks that you could eat that will not gain weight. Wow, I haven't read this article. I don't know, but I'm guessing it's probably, you know, Doritos. I don't know. I mean, so that's one magazine, and then this actually was the magazine that I was holding when the lady came by and said, "Hello, this magazine right here." I know, right? This is the cover of the magazine. I mean, give me a break. And so in the front of this, it says, "Drop pounds with one simple change." Now, I didn't read the article, so I don't know what it is, but I'm guessing. Eat less. I doubt that's what it says in here, right? I mean, it says, "You can look your killer confident look in 3 steps. I don't know what those 3 steps are, but if you're lacking confidence, apparently you ought to read the Health magazine, and it'll tell you that in 3 steps you can have a killer confident look. It says right on the front, your dream body. There you go. So you can see that. And then I picked up Women's Health magazine, and this is the cover of the Women's Health magazine. And you're starting to see a theme, am I right, church? You're starting to see a little bit of a theme that goes on here. And it says here on the left-hand side, 25 hot body secrets from women who will work out for a living. How many women are working out for a living? Can I see your hands? Nobody, right? It's incredible. It says here, Gabrielle Union, I guess that's Gabrielle, I don't know who she is. Gabrielle Union, "How a Girl Loves Bread and Bacon and Stays This Fit." Wow, I'm going to up my bacon, apparently. There's all kinds of things in here. It's really incredible. And then here's an In Style magazine. So if you just stay in style, and I want you to notice how thick this magazine is. So this is going to tell us that you are not in style. And then tell you how you can be in style. And I look at this magazine here, and there's a lady in the front. Thankfully, it's a little bit more modest. And it says in here that if you wear the right shoes you can't lose. So if you wear the right shoes, ladies, then all the mojo is coming your direction, apparently. So here it is right here. Supermodel moment. And at the top of it says, "Let's go." I don't know what that means, but yeah, let's go. Here it is. And then you have People magazine. You probably have heard this magazine before, right? People magazine. And you see all kinds of things on here. And there's all kinds of stories on here. I'm drawn to the bottom story here. And it's about Christy Brinkley. How many of you know Christy Brinkley? You don't know her personally, right? I mean, but Christy Brinkley and her 3 daughters. So there's a picture or a story apparently about her 3 daughters. And so I did a little research, not in the magazine actually. I went online just to see. And Christy Brinkley is now 60 years of age. And she has been touted as the most beautiful woman at 60. She looks as good as her 3 teenage daughters, according to the article that I read online. And it said, after 3 kids and 4 husbands, Christy looks great. I bet if I had 15 minutes to talk to Christy and I said to her, "Would you trade all your looks for 1 marriage that worked?" Would you do that? Yes. That'd be an interesting question, wouldn't it? According to People magazine, though, as long as you look good and look as good as your daughters, then you're going to be okay. And then I picked up this magazine, Men's Health. And ladies, this guy is in our church, so you just need to... I don't even know. It says here, "Lose your gut by eating more burgers, beers, and wings." Some of you are doing that and it's not working. I'm looking around here. I'm just saying. And in the bottom left, it says, read her dirty little mind. So I guess we can read your minds, lady, and I haven't read the article, so I don't know what that is. And then you can pick up Glamour magazine, Glamour. I mean, you know, here's Glamour. At least it's modest, for heaven's sakes. And you have Alicia Keys on the front there, and you can learn all kinds of things if you just show up and be you, right? If you just show up and be you, then the world's going to be great. I don't even know what that means, but it's right there, and I guess you can read the article. And then you have the Shape magazine, and the Shape magazine is more of the same, and you're beginning to see a little bit of a theme again, and you can see here 15 moves for healthy, glowing skin. So I don't know what those 15 moves are, but you can find 15 moves, and your skin will glow, apparently. And sleek, sexy, toned, tall, as it says right here, and so I guess you can do that. And then, of course, we have here Life and Style magazine. These magazines, by the way, they're expensive. I'm telling you, I spent a lot of money to buy these, I don't know, 8-10 magazines, and in this magazine, and I didn't open one of them. I just looked at the title. It's crazy. And here, Life and Style, you see at the top, left hand right here, it's Beyonce, and it says right there, pregnancy, she's having twins, pregnancy saved my marriage. Ladies, how many of you agree that pregnancy will save your marriage? This is what we're reading and seeing every single day. So my unscientific research tells us that this is exactly what we see in our culture today. This is exactly what we're told. Find the right person. They just need to look good, and they need to be the one that attracts you. And then here's the second thing you got to do, according to the world. You got to fall in love. I mean, you got to fall in love. And I'm sure you've had people tell you, you know what, it didn't work out. You know, our relationship didn't work out. We fell out of love. Ever hear that before? It's not possible, because here's what love is. Love is a, see if you know the answer, love is a what, church? Love is a, it's a choice, right? Love is a choice. You don't fall into love and fall out of love. You stop choosing, and the world tells us you got to fall into love. That if you're single or if you're a teenager, all you need to do is go to a coffee shop and maybe you'll find that right person, Mr. Right, Mrs. Right, or Miss Right, I guess it is. And you find that person and you connect eyes with them, and all of a sudden some electric, you know, shock goes through your body, and you both go up to the half and half line at the same time. And all of a sudden you kind of brush shoulders, and you go back to your roommate and you say, look, I met this guy at the coffee shop and I am in love. And your IQ drops 35 points, you know. And you start doing things and dressing ways, and so the world says all you need to do is fall in love. And you and I both know that that's not how it works. There's a much better way. And then the third thing we learn from the world is that you need to fix your hopes and dreams on that person. That person can fulfill you and can bring you happiness, and if you just fix all your hopes and dreams in that person, and if they disappoint you, it's their fault, right? It's their fault. And so if they disappoint you, well, then they certainly must not have been the right person. So you got to go and find the right person, and then you got to fall in love. In fact, here's number four. See, if failure occurs, then here's what you do. Just repeat 1 through 3, right? You just got to go and find out the right person, the one that completes you, and then you got to fall into love again. You know, typically it's based on physical attributes and all that. And then you got to fix your hopes and dreams on this person, and if it fails, do it again. And that's why in Hollywood, when we read these magazines and watch the movies, we know some of these Hollywood stars, it's amazing. They have marriage after marriage after marriage. Some of them only last 5 months. Because they want to try to find the right person, and they fall in love, they fall out of love, and they've fixed their hopes, and then they just go back and repeat it. And so you have somebody like Christie Brinkley, 4 husbands. That's amazing. See, the world's prescription, church, doesn't work. It doesn't work. Since 1960, divorces have doubled. In fact, half of divorces that happen today happen between years 3 and 7, before year 10. In the first 10 years, half of divorces take place. And in those half of divorces that take place, do you realize that half the women that experience divorce are living under the poverty level? Half the women. And that doesn't even include the kids. I mean, you could do some study in the kids, which I did, and you realize that kids of divorced families 25 years later, when they're 30, they will struggle so much in their own personal relationships with themselves and with others, even though at work, you'd never know. That's a problem, right? The world's prescription does not work. But the good news is there is a prescription that does. And I want to give you that today. It's God's prescription for lasting relationships. And so what I want to do is take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. I want to look at the first two verses. I want to read them for you. And then I want you to get your pens out because you may want to underline and circle a few things that are really, really important in these two verses. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is talking to a church, not unlike Fairhaven Church, and he's helping them to figure out how they can navigate relationships and so forth. And he says to them in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, follow God's example. Now, if you're here and you're a Christ follower, that's not just good advice. Church, listen carefully. This is a command for you. Follow God's example. It's not just, you know, something that you ought to think about. If you're not a Christ follower, it's at least good advice for you. But if you're a Christ follower, here's what I tell you, that God is saying to you, follow my example. It's a command. Follow my example. Now watch this. Therefore, as dearly loved children. I love that. Let me make sure that we understand this. You see, God is asking us to follow his example in how we love people, but he tells us that after he tells us, but I love you. In fact, some of you today, all you need to hear is this. God loves you already. He created you just like you are. He created you with your gifts. He created the way you look. He created everything about you. And the trouble or the difficulty that you might be going through isn't because God doesn't love you. God loves you. And because of God loving us, and we recognize that, then the command is, so follow God's example. And what's God's example? We find that in verse 2. Look at verse 2. Walk in the way of love. How do you do that? Well, Paul tells us, the second half of verse 2, he says, here's how you walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here's how God loved us. He gave his one and only son to die. Sacrificially, he did something at great personal cost for you and for me because he loves us so much and he wants to model what love really is. And then he says, follow my example and walk in love. In fact, if you forget everything else today, don't forget this. The one principle of love, that if you follow this, if you put this on your Twitter page, Facebook page, if you email this out to every friend you know, this would be a great principle to live by. You, myself, all of us, whether you're a teenager, whether you're single, married, married with kids, married no kids, grandkids, it doesn't matter. Here's the principle. It's found right here out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and that's this. Love is choosing to pay a personal cost for someone who needs love the most, even when they don't deserve it. If you're really going to love someone, if you're going to be in a relationship that lasts, whether you're friends or whether you're married, then loving means that you're going to choose to pay a personal cost. There's a cost for you in loving. And that cost is to those who you want to love because they need love in their lives. And there may be times where they don't deserve it. I mean, this phrase right here is really what this whole message is about. This, in a way, helps us to understand the prescription of God's lasting for us in lasting relationships. Right here. It's choosing to pay a personal cost for someone who needs love, even when they don't deserve it. You know, if we followed this one principle, there'd be a lot less problems in our relationships, wouldn't there? It's incredible that this one kind of principle can change everything. But let me give you, out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and out of this principle right here, I want to give you God's prescription for lasting relationships. Are you ready? Here we go. Here's number one, if you want to write this down. It's become the right person. Notice the difference from the world. The world says, find the right person. God's prescription is you become the right person. And of course, immediately a question comes to my mind, and that's this: how do I become the right person? Well, thankfully, Paul tells us. So go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and turn back one chapter and go to the very end of chapter 4, all right? Two verses, start in verse 31. He tells us how, in fact, to be the right kind of people. That if you do this, you're going to follow God's example, because you have to become the right person. Teenagers, man, if you get this now, you become the right person, and then God brings people into your life. All right? Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling and slander, along every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Right there, Paul tells us how to become the right person. I remember when I met Kathy, and I was having inclinations in my heart of maybe marrying Kathy. And I began thinking about this, and I was frightened to death. I came from a divorce family, and I'm a kid, so I can talk to any of you that have been from divorced families, and I understand the pain of it. And yet, I wanted to make sure that I didn't repeat that in my own life. And so, as a 21-year-old, I read every single book on the market about marriage. I mean, I was just consuming books because I wanted to make sure that I understood. And I began reading in God's Word and reading, and I read all these books, and I read all these principles, and it was all really great. Until I began to discover that in my own heart, in my own life, verse 31 was a description of me. There was all kinds of anger and rage and bitterness in my own life. I was angry at a few people that had hurt our family. I was very mad at some situations that were going on, and I was holding on to that bitterness. It was poisoning me. It wasn't hurting them at all. And so in my own life, I realized that if I was going to marry Kathy, I had to become the right person. I'm going to carry this right into that relationship. And so, not even being that smart, I just realized, you know what, I got to get rid of this. And I began to address the bitterness and the anger in my life and releasing it and forgiving. And I know that forgiveness is a decision and it's a process. Are you with me, church? And to this day, I'm still in that process. But I made the decision years ago. And Kathy and I have been married now 30 years this summer. 30 years. And I'm so grateful that God has brought her into my life. And I'm still, to this day, becoming the right person. Because that's God's prescription. That's how it works. Here's number two. God's prescription. You walk in love. You don't fall in love. Love is a choice. And so you choose to walk in love. I recognize that if you're starting to date somebody, you walk in love very carefully. In fact, I'll tell you the pathway in just a little bit of what that pathway should look like in reference to the world. But when we walk in love, you walk step by step every day. And if the relationship gets a little bit more committed, then you walk further in love. And if you get to the place where you're committing yourself in marriage, then you walk further in love. And every day you walk in love. Every single day. That's why oftentimes when I do a wedding, I'm standing up in front of a couple and I look at them and I say, now you're marrying her today. Yep. Now you're marrying him today. Yep. You need to marry her every single day. You need to marry him every single day. And the way I'm saying that is because we have to walk in love. Question: what does it mean to walk in love? Well, thankfully, the Bible gives us answers. Isn't it awesome that you and I can read the Bible and we get the answers to that question? Here's how you walk in love. You walk with wisdom. Now, stay with me here for a minute. Wisdom doesn't mean that you go out and you read every single book on the market about marriage. Probably would help you, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about greater intellect. I'm not talking about the fact that you need to go back and get a second degree of some kind in your life. I'm not talking about the intellect. In fact, when you read what the Bible has to say about wisdom, it's all around relationship. James, the brother of Jesus, talks about wisdom. And I'm going to read you one verse, and in one verse, I'm going to give you six practical ways to walk in wisdom and walking in love. Because wisdom is really all about relationships. I mean, you'd agree with me that the smartest person in the world isn't worth anything if they can't manage and walk in love in their relationships, right? You'd agree with me in that regard. And so here's what we find out in this answer. Here's what James says. And if you want, you can turn to James chapter 3. It's hanging right in your Bibles if you have a paper version. James is the brother of Jesus. And in one verse, he talks about wisdom that comes from God. And then he tells us that wisdom does six things. Watch this. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. So this wisdom comes from God. And this wisdom is all relational. First, it's all pure. It's also peace-loving. That's the second one. It's gentle at all times. Third, willing to yield to others. Fourth, full of mercy and good deeds. Five, and shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Man, we get so much in one verse here that I'm going to make it as practical as I know how for you today. So you might want to get your pens out because I'm going to give you six things that you do not want to do in relationships if you want to walk in love. And we find them right here in this one verse in James chapter 3. Here it is. I will not compromise my integrity. If you want to walk in love, whether you're single or married, I will not compromise my integrity. I will not lie. I will not shade the truth. I will, if you're a Christ follower, you want to follow God's plan because that is the way you can live out your integrity. You're not going to compromise that integrity. You've heard me say this a million times, and I'm going to keep saying it. If we make the decision before we get there, it helps, right? Teenagers, if you make the decision before you get there, it makes a big difference. Because then you can say, you know what, I'm not going to compromise my integrity. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to be involved in that. I'm not going to compromise my integrity. That's one of the ways that you can walk in love with wisdom. Here's number two. I will not provoke your anger. You know, being married to Kathy now for 30 years, you know what's really interesting? I know all her buttons. You know what's interesting? She knows all my buttons. And it's very easy to push those buttons and to pull those buttons. It's very easy that if something's happening where, you know, I don't look very good in this relationship, I could push a button and easily turn the conversation, and there could be anger and frustration, and it's amazing. I have that ability. Kathy has that ability. We have the ability in our commitment of love to actually destroy each other. And yet God says, here's what I want you to do with that. I want you to not provoke anger in your relationship. Here's number three. I will not minimize your feelings. And let's just be honest here. I mean, guys, this is hard for us because when women tell us their feelings, we go into let's fix it mode, right? I mean, we go into let's solve the problem. Here's a problem. Let's solve it. And early on in our marriage, Kathy was very good in helping me to say, as she sat me down and I sat down and was willing to be there for a few minutes, she then shared her emotions with me. And then she would say, I don't need you to fix me. I just need you to hear me. Does that sound right, ladies? And I've learned that. I'm still learning that over time. And so on both sides, I will not minimize your feelings. I won't ignore them. I'm not going to make light of them. I'm not going to make you feel stupid by having them. I'm not going to minimize feelings. Here's number four that we find in James chapter 3. I will not criticize your suggestions. Why is it that we are the smartest people on the planet? I mean, we often think that our ideas are better than somebody else's ideas. In fact, I work with our staff all the time, and I tell this to our staff. If you look at any decision that you make in life, watch this. This is amazing. If you look at any decision that you make in life, 60% of every decision is typically right or wrong. 40% is opinion. In every decision, we're deciding what and how, right? What to do and how to do it. Often we don't fight in the what to do, in the 60%, which is right or wrong. We don't have many fights about that. It's always in the how to do it part. It's the 40% where we have all of our arguments, right? And it's okay not to be the smartest person in the room. It's okay to live with love, walking in love at the office or at home or in relationships. I will not criticize your suggestions. Here's number five. I will not emphasize your mistakes. Now, I want you to notice that the operative word here is emphasize. Because in any loving, healthy relationship, my wife has pointed out many mistakes that I have made in my life. And I'm grateful for that because she's made me a better man. And I'm so grateful that she doesn't emphasize them. Because it's when you emphasize them that you bring it up over and over and over again, and it can be detrimental and can really hurt a lasting relationship. And then the last one, I will not mask who I am. As you walk further and further into a relationship, you begin to take off more and more so that you expose your life, you expose your feelings, you expose your heart, because that's what walking in love does. I will not mask who I am. And so we have this prescription, and the prescription says, become the right person. We need to work on that. We need to walk in love, and then fix your hope on God and please Him through this relationship. You see, in relationships, we don't fix our hopes and dreams on people. We fix our hopes and dreams on God. And as we please God, we then please and work through the relationship. So as we're loving in the relationship, we are then bringing pleasure to God. It's a whole different way of looking at it, isn't it? It's actually the opposite of what the world says. Matter of fact, let me show you what the world says. Here's the pathway that the world says. The world says that there's a path, God's path, and the world's path. The world's path is you find yourself physically attracted to somebody, and then you become very emotionally attached with them, and then you have some mental, you know, common ground where you like to do the same things, or maybe intellectually you have, and then you become very social with them. In other words, you begin to, you know, live life with them. In fact, this is where the world says cohabitation is really important. I mean, you might as well move in with them. I mean, get to know them for a while first, right? And so you do the social thing, and then lastly, if it applies, then maybe you could agree on some spiritual things, like at least you could agree on that maybe there's a higher power, you know, of something in your life. That's what the world says. This is the pathway when you find somebody. You go to the coffee shop, you rub shoulders, you get emotionally connected, you find some connection point, you socially begin to, you know, live life with them, and then maybe something spiritual. The opposite is true for God's path. There's a spiritual connection. If you're a Christ follower, teenagers, if you're a Christ follower, then here's what's really important. We'll talk more about this next week. You need to find somebody that can connect with you on a spiritual level. And if you don't, you're in for trouble. Am I right, adults? You're in for trouble. And then you connect socially with them, meaning that you begin to watch them with other people, and you begin to watch how they operate and how they behave and how they treat people. And socially, you begin to watch them, and you can be in safe groups, and then mentally, you have a connection. And then emotionally, once you see all these things emotionally, then you begin to commit yourself emotionally, and then it ends physically. That's the final consummation in a marriage relationship. And so we see in God's plan, you become the right person, you walk in love, you fix your hope on God, and if failure, just repeat 1 through 3. Because we're not perfect. And sometimes relationships didn't work. And you know what? We all get another day. And God is a God of second chances. And He can walk with you in your second chance and in my second chance. And here's what we do. We start, and today we say, you know what? I'm going to become the right person. What does that mean for you today to become the right person? What does it mean for you to walk in love? To walk in love with God. To walk in love with others. What does it mean for you to fix your hope on God so the people around you aren't the source of all your happiness? They bring great happiness, but they're not the source of all of it. What a great plan that God lays out for us. Here is the prescription for lasting relationships. I'm just going to invite you in all of our campuses right now, if you just would bow your heads. And the reason we ask you to bow your heads if you're a guest is not because there's some magic in that. It's just, would you just remove everybody else around you? Because we've decided here at Fairhaven Church in the year 2017 that we're going to take 2 minutes of every service, at the end of every service, and we're going to respond to God. I mean, we've worshiped God. We've heard from His Word. How do you need to respond today? What is your response to God? Maybe you want to talk to Him silently right there as you're seated there. Springboro, Northmont, Classics. And for the next 2 minutes, figure out what it means for you to respond to God in your relationships. Campus pastors, I'll turn it over to you.